This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back. Now at the start of the show, we ask you, was Nigel Farage right to say Muslim voters don't share Britain's values? Well, here's what you had to say. William tells us, I totally agree with Nigel. We are losing our country and fast. And Mick says this. Nigel Farage is stating what most people believe. There are thousands of British Muslims who do not subscribe to our values. Speaking the truth is not allowed anymore in this woke country. And another viewer adds this. I think there's a loud, vocal minority that calls the most shouting over this. And most people here are peaceful and tolerant. Now, before the break, we were hearing from Nigel Farage following his comments about parts of the Muslim population not subscribing to British values. He said there was a deep sense of unease. And here's a stark warning Nigel gave when he spoke to me just a few moments ago.
Fact is, I mean, goodness me, on this channel, the number of Muslim lawyers, business people that we have on talking about things that have got their own private observance of religion, but are a fully integrated part of the community. And you can see this with the Jewish community. You can see it with the Hindu community, you know, where people have different origins and faiths, but we have commonality and we all get on. This is a particular problem in Islam. It is a minority, but it's a growing minority. And if we don't talk about it, we're going to finish up with sectarian politics, with people voting along religious lines in a very big way. And I'm old enough to remember what sectarian politics did in Northern Ireland. I don't want to see anything like that in England.
OK, it's time for debate on this now. And joining me in the studio to debate Nigel's explosive interview is the media commentator Rafe Haidel-Manku and also Abdullah Al-Andalusi, the co-founder of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Let's start with you, Abdullah. So, the cat's been put amongst the pigeons once again by Nigel Farage. A lot of people saying his comments were horribly Islamophobic and racist. Would you agree with that?
I would say that many people have described what he said as race baiting or religious baiting, because most people who are Muslim in this country were from immigrant background or recent immigrant backgrounds. And so they are a convenient target. 150 years ago, Oswald Mosley and Nigel Farage of his time, one might argue, from the British Union of Fascists, argued that Jews were a problem in this country and that there was a large population who weren't assimilating or didn't follow British values. So here we are in somewhat repeating history again with this. And one of the most dangerous things I noticed from Nigel Farage's comments was he was criticizing anti-genocide, anti-apartheid protests in Palestine. Is it British values then? If they are the ones who are meant to be against British values, is Nigel Farage saying that to be British is to be supporting genocide and apartheid?
Well hang on.
I think that's very worrying.
The anti-Semitism, the rise of fascism on British streets, it isn't coming from people like Nigel Farage. It's coming from the Islamists.
Well, fascism is to say that the country is more important than individual rights or and so on. So anyone who says that this country should come first beyond people's individual rights or freedoms is by definition, or the state should come first, is by definition a fascist. So that wouldn't apply. Secondly, anti-Semitism, show one clip of someone attacking all Jews, insulting Jews or inciting people to hate Jews in any one of these demonstrations. We all hear a lot of rhetoric
Somebody said gas the Jews. Somebody's wearing a Hamas sign. Children dress as fancy dress Hamas terrorists.
Then we have to see the video. Show the video where someone said gas the Jews. Right, because I would equally condemn that, like anyone else here. This is that would be abhorrent, but we haven't seen any evidence. All we hear
is rumours. It's not rumours. It's there. The evidence is crystal clear.
Then show the video.
Well, we haven't got it now. But it's out there. You can Google it. Rafe Haidel-Manku. Do you want to counter this?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it goes without saying that the majority of Muslims in this country are well integrated and adjusted, and that should be celebrated. But people constantly say, oh, it's a small minority who are like this. It's not. It's a very sizable minority of the Muslim population of this country hold views, attitudes and beliefs that run completely contrary to our civilization and our culture. And it's not getting better. People used to say, oh, well, this is just first immigration Muslims. Their children and grandchildren will be very different. On the contrary, it's the children today who hold far more radical views than their parents or grandparents. I mean, there was one poll done by the Policy Exchange that showed this is quite unbelievable. One third of young British Muslims aged 16 to 24 believe ex-Muslims should be put to death for apostasy. This is quite amazing. A majority of British Muslims believe that homosexuality should be illegal compared to 5% of the broader population. Three quarters of British Muslims in this last poll do not believe that Hamas committed murder and rape on October the 7th. Now, you might think that's a bizarre thing for them to believe, but it's actually in keeping with previous polls. 31% of British Muslims believe that America was behind 9/11. 7% believe it was the Jews. Only 4% believe it was Al-Qaeda, which, of course, we know. More Muslims also believe that Diana was killed because she wanted to marry a Muslim than believe she was killed in an accident. Now, those are just the most bizarre things. But then you go, you look further, and you see that 62% of Muslims want to restrict free speech in order to protect religious sensitivities. 52% believe that there should be no picture of Muhammad shown. Every gauge you look at, most scarily, 9% of British Muslims, 400,000 people, identify as being Islamists and supporters of terrorism, and 15% sympathise with terrorism. Compared to 6% in France and Germany. And 81% of British Muslims identify as Muslim first and British second, whereas it's only 66% in Germany and it's only 46% in France. We have a real issue here which we need to address, and we can't keep covering these things up.
Abdullah, okay. That's a barrage of data. How would you respond to that?
Okay, yeah, and in this very same poll, twice as many of the non-Muslim public, British public that was polled, were likely to support ISIS than Muslims. That's in the same poll, right?
These are five polls.
Well, we're talking about the one you referenced. So in this poll, you get some very weird data coming out. But that's beside the point. The point is that Muslims, if you ask religious Jews who have very similar laws and beliefs to Muslims, will say very much the same thing. They're going to say they're Jewish first and maybe British second. It was a big debate amongst Jews for many decades, and there are sizable portions of Jewish people that believe that they're Jewish first, and they even have gone to the Israel. Let me finish.
It's double the rate of France.
They have gone to participate in the Israeli Defense Forces to fight as reservists for Israel, but they're not reservists in Britain. They would not fight for Britain, or they have not fought for Britain, these very same people. Why don't you see any complaint against their patriotism and their nationalism?
Because I don't recall Jews blowing themselves up, I don't recall Jews beheading anybody, I don't recall Jews flying planes into buildings,
it's not talking about Jews here, but Zionists have in the past killed British politicians throughout the Palestine struggle, as they called it. They supported actual terrorism, blowing up King David Hotel. They supported and funded internationally terrorist operations against British army in Israel and Palestine, and you know that.
Abdullah, if we pull this into the here and the now,
right,
rather than dredging through history, the violence on British streets, the unrest on British streets, the
fox hunting protests and demonstrations that led to 60 police officers being injured.
Hang on a moment. Every Saturday in Britain, we are seeing the protests now. We're seeing soaring anti-Semitism. We're seeing politicians being forced out of office. We're seeing politicians and David Amos being killed. There is a commonality amongst that, you must admit. These figures are damning. And I particularly want to ask you, why is it that young British Muslims seem to be especially radicalised when compared to the older Muslims? I find that surprising. Why is that happening?
Firstly, I think that this is all a red herring. People are entitled to religious views in England. These religious views might be what you might call conservative or ultra-orthodox, depending on, and they will be at odds with the liberal ideals of liberal
values.
Supporting
Sharia law isn't orthodox. That's against the law of the land.
But not on non-Muslims, right? And then no one ever said they wanted to live by Sharia law. Jews want to live by Halakha law, Jewish law. And they even have Beit Deans, which is Jewish courts that resolve disputes in this country. So no one complains about that. Well, at least not now. The British Union of Fascists 20 years ago did complain about that. And of course, we're seeing history repeat itself. The issue is this. If Jews can have these things, if Jews can live in Stanford Hill, Golders Green, and have their their own culture, and relatively, they even have their own, like, a security sort of force called the Shomrim, and that's not a problem. And great, and I support that.
Okay,
why can't Muslims have the same?
I want to pull this conversation out, if I could, back to Nigel Farage's comments. I know you put a post out about that. Extraordinary. It's been taken down.
I put a tweet out defending Nigel Farage, and all I did was I provided some of the same statistics. And simply for telling the truth today, you get silenced. Because I think it's almost as if the establishment elite understand that multiculturalism has failed and that Islam is a tinderbox waiting to go off, and they're treading on eggshells around it. And it reminded me precisely of the last 30 years in Rotherham and Oldham, when the police, the social services, the councils were petrified by political correctness and so beholden to this ideology of multiculturalism that they allowed the industrial-scale rape of young British girls by Pakistani Muslims for fear of inflaming community tensions. That's why Nigel Farage and I are getting silenced for speaking the truth. We have imported vast numbers of people into this country who have no intention of assimilating. They leave segregated lives in Islamic silos with whose daily lives pass with little or no interaction
with
wider British society.
Would you,
and they exist in a world that's almost like a petri
dish. Would you say Stanford Hill?
One second, let me finish the
silo.
In these communities, they're like petri dishes where cultural, abhorrent cultural practices are being practiced, forced marriages, honour killings. Britain is now the global centre of acid attacks. We've already spoken about the grooming gangs that are taking place. These are abhorrent practices. We know full well that Muslims living in these communities are twice as likely to be as extremists as those living in non-segregated communities, and we're only making this worse by continuing mass immigration.
Final word to you, Abdullah. I want to try and get you to respond to what Nigel Farage said. Nigel Farage speaking out, let's put the cat amongst the pigeons. Is it helpful, yes or no?
What I'm saying is that I feel that he's scared to use those same standards he levels against Muslims, against Jews, for doing exactly the same thing in terms of what you might call living in Golders Green and so on. Would you call that a silo? You wouldn't. You wouldn't dare, because you'd be called anti-Semite and you would hate
that. How many acid attacks are in Golders Green?
You said if England's the global leader in acid attacks, then and it's not the Muslim world, then clearly that it's not got nothing to do with Islam or Muslims.
It's the Asian community.
Please address what Nigel said. Is it helpful or not? I mean, he's speaking truth, but...
Well, I think we have to ask ourselves, is Nigel out for the rights of the British citizen, the rights of the British citizen to protest and demonstrate? No police are injured or attacked every week on the Palestine demonstration of protests. Yeah, and fox hunting, the demonstrations that he attended, in one case, there was a riot in Parliament Square where 60 police were injured. MPs' houses were barricaded by fox hunting protesters, right? Anti-ban protesters. Okay. And yet, he supports that. But yeah, peaceful protests go out for Palestine and he wants to clamp down. The question is, does he have British citizens' rights in his mind as his number one concern? Right. Does he have Israel or other foreign countries' governments' ideas that he wants to promote?
We have to leave it there. All I'll say in response to that is I pleaded with the police to stop people putting that sign on Big Ben when it happened from River to the Sea. I said to them, there's a projector, go and take it down. But they would not.
What's wrong
with
it?
Soft soap it. People find it grossly offensive and many feel it shame.
And guess what? Guess what rights and freedom is all about? Rights and freedom is to have the freedom to do something even despite people find it grossly offensive. Looks like you guys have issue with British values.
Well, it's not a British value.
Not Muslim. Because you're
defending freedom and liberty, yes, of course.
All GB News does, it talks about banning this, banning that, the problem this, a problem with that, and that they should clamp down on this, on the rights of British citizens to protest or demonstrate when there's clearly no anti-Semitism there. Not one single smoking gun you can present on camera. Just rumours. Oh, we hear there's anti-Semitism happening. Not a single image you can show.
Okay, so that gas the Jews comment was in Australia, I believe. It was broadcast.
Well, we're talking about Britain, but anyway,
But the children dressed as Hamas terrorists, that was very much in Britain. In fact, the police posed for pictures with them.
Zionist Diamond attacking, physically attacking, brutalizing students at UCL in America.
We have to leave it there. Rafe Helmanku and Abdullah Al-Andalusi, co-founder of the Muslim Debate Initiative. A lively debate. Thank you both very much, gentlemen.
GB News were alleging that there were children dressed as Hamas posing with police officers at UK demonstrations. This is the picture that was actually cited to be this case by some pro-Zionist accounts on Twitter. As you can see, that's not the case. It's a little kid who's not dressed in military uniform or combats, holding a Palestine national flag with the phrase "Save our children," and is having a keffiyeh, which is a Palestinian headcloth, and is wrapped around the face. Presumably like every other demonstrators, not trying to show the face. Nowhere is this showing a Hamas fighter. The keffiyeh is common to everybody in Palestine. It is a national symbol, you could say, of Palestinians. That's why the police didn't mind posing with some such individuals, and no one got arrested, no one got prosecuted for this. So this is false and bogus information on behalf of GB News. But also they alleged that there was people chanting "gas the Jews" at a demonstration in Australia. Now, even though I mentioned that we were talking about UK demonstrations that Nigel Farage was criticizing, even then, in this demonstration, out of hundreds of demonstrations in calling Australia, but even this one demonstration, no one was actually saying "gas the Jews." The police investigated this and found out that it was not saying "gas the Jews."
But it was this unverified video that appeared to take the hatred to a potentially criminal level. Now, after months of analysis, investigators say there's no evidence those specific words were said in that clip.
Emphatically, our expert has said that it is "where's the Jews."
Police investigating whether violence was incited at the protest sent the video to a biometric science expert who found the subtitles were incorrect.
Therefore, GB News are again touting lies, even though the Australian police have clarified it. It's for that reason that GB News didn't want to show any clips to me on the show, because they knew that I would call them out, or that it would be quite blatant that what they are claiming isn't indeed the case. It should also be noted that GB News has always been unable, despite my repeated challenges to them whenever I'm on their show, to show where these anti-apartheid, anti-oppression, anti-genocide marches are ones where people are told to chant or have placards or posters where they are calling to attacking or killing or hating all Jews, which they never are able to do so. They only can only find one individual crackpot that might attend, but they'll never ever find people who come to these demonstrations in groups to chant and be told to chant and be told to condemn or attack or hate Jews. And therefore, it should always be noticed, and GB News should always be held to account and always be asked to bring such footage. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show.
If any Jew in London is feeling uneasy and unsafe about the situation, I encourage them to come out here. You can come with your kippahs, and you'll face nothing but love from the people here.